First of all, I want to thank you today for allowing me to come here and come preach before you. I'm obviously just a member of the church as we're taking our turns preaching, and I hope what I say will be helpful to everyone here in studying his word and understanding Lord a little bit better. I'm going to start today with a story. The story is not true, it's completely fictional. But it has a basis in a lot of stories you hear everywhere. And this is just an example of it. In many cases, it's more extreme, but this is just beginning. So there's a man, we'll call him Ben, who's been a Christian for several years. Recently, from everywhere, he's been missing services every once in a while and coming late to some others. He doesn't talk nearly as much as anymore as when he comes. And he tends to leave early, where he used to stay and be one of the last ones to leave the church. Now, Ben has set up a Bible study with a guy from church to try to get himself back on track. Now, one Saturday morning at 11, Ben wakes up in an apartment he's never been in. His apartment's dirty and smells bad, and there's cans and other evidence of the night before surrounding him. Now, the Bible study he was supposed to go to started at 10:30. He calls up his friend, makes some lame excuse, and starts picking up the pieces and figuring out what just happened the night before. He doesn't even know who lives there or why there's some girl asleep on the bed. Now, how did he get here? Now, is it likely that Ben meant to miss the Bible study with his friend? Is it likely he meant to stay out all night with someone he didn't know at a place he didn't know and doing things he doesn't even remember doing? Is it likely he meant to find himself in a compromising situation with someone he doesn't even remember meeting while he's supposed to be somewhere studying God's word? No. We can assume that Ben meant to go to the Bible study because he set it up on purpose so to get himself back on track. So the question is, what happened? Well, we'll look at that in just a minute. But let me show another example, an example that comes straight from the Bible. It's of the nation of Judah. At the end of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, we see God removes the nation of Judah from the land that he gave them. And he does this because the Jewish people have fallen away from him and turned away completely from following God. Now, is it likely that the nation of Judah meant to turn away from God? I mean, we see throughout most of the books of Kings and Chronicles, we see the Jewish people constantly trying to serve the Lord in some fashion or another. So how do these people who were originally so intent on serving their God go from worshiping him correctly to turning away from him? In both of these examples, the people in them went following God to basically ignoring God. They did not do so overnight, but they likely did it through a series of small choices that they made along the way. And we'll look into that in just a minute. But today what we're going to talk about is basically it's the little choices that we make that has us end up in situations like we just heard. And what does it mean for us to make these choices and how it affects our relationship with God? Well, at the most basic level, every choice and decision you make does one of two things. It either brings us a little closer to God or makes us a little farther away. With some choices, this is a lot easier to see. But every decision we make, every choice we make, does this to one degree or another. The reason for this is very simple. It's because every decision that we make can be boiled down into a single question. What choice is it that God wants us to make? If we decide to do what God wants us to do, then we grow closer to him. Otherwise, we grow a little bit farther away. Luke chapter 16, verse 13, emphasizes just how important our choices are and the quality of that choice. In this verse, Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We must choose God or the world. And each choice brings us closer to one or the other, not both. We need to remain diligent to recognize who we are, who it is that we're serving. So let's go back to these stories, these original examples, and take a look at how the choices they made brought them to where they ended up. Let's take another look at this fictional bin. Like we said before, he'd been a Christian for several years, and he'd clearly made some Christian friends at his church. He'd even been able to set up a network for Bible studies so when he needed them. He'd had a history of attending services since he'd become a Christian. And he seemed to be doing well until he started missing them. So let's look at this a little bit closer. Well, Ben had some friends prior to being a Christian. And those friends, they liked to party and drink. And at times they did this to excess. And they didn't a whole lot care for church. Well, recently Ben decided to reconnect with them. He figured maybe he could help them out to get them to come to church, maybe show them what they were missing and have them see the Lord. So he went to hang out with them. And the first time he tried alcohol, he just wanted a sip, just to remember what it was like back when he did it more often. Well, the next time he went out, it was just a drink, just one glass, nothing more. Time after that, he figured a second one wouldn't hurt. And about a month before that, the late night in the beginning of the story, it was the first time he woke up late for services. Of course, he felt horrible about it, and he ran around to get ready, and he swore to himself he wouldn't nearly stay out so late. But Ben thought, hey, being close to his friends might help them get closer to God. So he didn't want to abandon them. He wanted them to see God too. So the next time they invited him, even though it was another Saturday night, he went along. After all, he thought, he couldn't get them closer to the Lord if he never saw them. So these choices Ben made, he originally made them to help others get close to God. He wanted his friends to find the Lord. Meeting them in locations that were where sinful things were happening, that was likely his first choice that led him astray. Joining in, even a little, would have been the next choice along the line. And then, of course, as he continued on making smaller choices, these choices stacked upon other, leading him farther and farther astray from God. He didn't originally intend to fall away from the Lord, but he forgot to take the steps to make the choices that the Lord wanted him to ensure that he stayed close. Let's also take a closer look at the nation of Judah. They began by starting off, they followed the Lord. And it was in their desire to worship him. They decided to build temples on high places that weren't Jerusalem, a lot like their neighbors, the Israelites, had done, even though God had expressly told them not to do this. And they decided to intermarry with surrounding nations. So, of course, they let those that they had married bring their own gods with them into the land. But at this point, Judah still thought they were worshiping the most powerful God, their God. They just had some other ones around them. Well, eventually, they went from worshiping God to worshiping all these other gods because it was a lot easier because those gods demanded a lot less of them. And see, these are just the choices that we are told in the Bible that the nation of Judah made. Perhaps with individual lives, there are other smaller choices that led them along the way. Perhaps maybe a leader of the household missed his time to go to Jerusalem to worship. So he decided for the good of his people and himself that maybe building a temple would be a good thing to do. Of course, we aren't told exactly what the small choices are in the Bible. But it's clear that the nation of Judah didn't specifically decide to fall away from the Lord, at least not in the beginning of it. So as we look at choices, how do we know which ones that we need to make so we don't end up in places we never thought we would be? Well, the answer to this lies in the Bible. God has the ways we can decide how to make the choices to serve him and avoid the choices that lead away. Let's start in Galatians 5, 19 through 25. In these verses, we see both the good choices we need to make, as well as the ones we should avoid. In these verses, it states, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Here we clearly see an idea of what things are good and what things aren't. It is clear the Lord approves of us working on such things as loving others. It's also very clear he doesn't approve of drunkenness or revelries or any of the other things listed. Now, some of the choices we see and make don't necessarily fall so easily within these set categories. Going to the house of someone who has drunken parties, for example, is not specifically drunkenness, nor is it revelries if he goes when the party is not going on. But the issue, of course, is staying until this party starts. Now, issues like this, the ability to see the stuff that doesn't fit solidly into a category, we need to rely on growing in the wisdom of the Lord. Wisdom that we can gain by reading the book from someone who specifically asked God for it. King Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, has shown us many ways to determine which choices are good and which choices lead away. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, he states, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse set things." In the next chapter, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." As long as we focus on the Lord and trust in him, he'll show us what choices we should be making that lead us to him. With every choice, it comes down to choosing to follow God and to not make a choice that leads to sin. If you could turn with me to Romans chapter 6, we'll look at verses 15 through 23. Here, Paul likens the overall choice of whether to serve God or to serve or to not. He likens it to slavery. In these verses, he says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now you present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in these things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. In the end, everlasting life, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see, with every choice we make, we have to submit ourselves to God's will and do what he wants us to do. Or we submit ourselves to sin, choosing to turn away from what God desires of us. In the end, we must give ourselves up to either God or to sin. Now, most of this comes down to being mindful of our choices. If we could either stay longer with a friend or go to bed earlier Saturday night for church in the morning, which one should we choose? If we can take a single sip of wine in the company of people who might be led astray, should we? Some choices like this are easier made ahead of time. We need to be mindful of the things the Lord tells us within the Bible and use both his words and our prayers to decide how to live our lives. If we want to go somewhere, but there might be an occasion to sin waiting for us there, we can decide before we even step inside that it might not be such a good plan. In Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it tells us to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can set boundaries for ourselves ahead of situations in order to prepare ourselves. We can focus on staying close to the Lord in all things, not just trying to do as many fun things as we want without falling away. God should be our first priority, no matter what. Like our brother Mark said last week when he was in his sermon, we should make following the Lord a habit. If we focus on him in all things as often as we can, we'll be more likely to continue doing so in each future opportunity, because it will start to come naturally for us. Because we can't forget, as it says in 1 Peter 5:8, that we should be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now let's look back to the examples I used in the beginning. Both Ben and the people of Judah have clearly now fallen away from God. They're no longer making choices that lead them to him. As Paul put it in Romans 6, they are at this moment slaves to sin. In both these examples, though, the story is not quite yet finished. Begin with, as we know, even though the people of Judah had been taken away from their promised land and put into exile, in these darkest days, they were able to once again find out God and to listen to his commands. They were able to decide to make the right choices, and they were able to go home where they were able to worship God the way God had commanded them to. Now let's look at Ben. Ben realized just how far he had gotten away from God. He realized he was like the church at Sardis the Lord writes to in Revelation chapter 3. That church, even though it started out as a church of the Lord, had fallen away from from God and was called a dead church. But God's message to that church in verse 3 was that they could be redeemed. It states, "Remember, therefore, how you received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." This is the message for those like Ben, who find themselves far away from God, from the God they want to be close to, that they need to remember his commands, remember what they've learned about reading the Bible, and to hold on to them, and to repent for the sins that they've committed. Now, we're not promised, however, that the journey is going to be easy. In fact, we're told quite the opposite. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Christ says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. And you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I will overcome the world." Here we are promised that if we stay close to the Lord, and we are working diligently to stay where he is and do what he wants us to do, then the Lord will be with us. We are also assured in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that we can do all things because Christ will strengthen us. Even though, as we discussed, the devil will always be trying to draw us away, Christ will also always be there to help us as long as we ask him to. Now, Ben could be any of us. And the situation I gave as an example is just one of the many ways Satan can tempt us to fall away from God. But if we do what the Lord told several churches who received messages in Revelations 2 and 3, that we hold fast to what we know, that is, to hold on to the teachings we have from the Lord, then we can stay close to him, or we can climb back to be close to him if we have fallen away. So if you are someone who's a Christian who needs help from the group to refocus and to come close to him and choosing to be close to God, or if you need our prayers for any other reasons, or if you're someone who still needs to become a Christian to be immersed in baptism according to his will, please come forward while we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken heart.